Powered by Riverside.
It's so funky. Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 42. I am your host, C. Willie. I am joined again this week by the lovely and talented...
Quarter Pete.
She has put up a baby gate at the top of the steps, so I cannot get out now. So she's got me stuck down here. We have a special guest this week. We've been looking forward to this for a while. Rob Lewis is joining us. We met you for the first time last summer at the St. Clair Chamber of Commerce, their hoedown that they had there, hosted by Alan Turner. And you were playing in the Ultimate Kenny Rogers tribute band, which is you're still a part of. Interesting way you got involved with that. Can you tell us a little bit about it? I've heard a couple of different stories about how this all happened, but let us know how you got involved with Alan and that project.
Our keyboard player had a heart attack, and we need a keyboard player for a gig on Tuesday in New York. This is Friday. And I said, oh, well. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, what kind of stuff is it? She's like, Kenny Rogers, do you know it? And I'm like, yeah, I know Footloose.
Whoops, wrong Kenny. Oh, that's good.
Well, she sends me the music, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know some of these songs. I knew a couple of them, maybe, right? And they sent me all the charts, and everything was already organized for me and everything. So I just spent that Saturday learning the music, and then we worked it out. And I just hopped in the van with these people I just met for the first time and drove to New York, you know, for like 11 hours or whatever it is.
Oh, my goodness. So you never know what's going to happen when you go to the bar on a Saturday night.
So I was at a bar on a Wednesday night, which shouldn't have been, but, you know, there we were.
It happened. It happened. And subsequently, it's worked out that you've kept on with them. I know what I had heard in talking with Jackie and some of the things, and correct me, that when the gentleman who had the heart attack, had the health issue, was healthy enough to come back, everybody decided, hey, the Kenny Rogers band actually did have two keyboards. They liked what you were doing. And so you're still with them.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool for me. It's the first band I've ever been in with another keyboard player. Mm-hmm. I was kind of one of that in my own band, especially in my earlier music. I would tend to write so many parts, all layered keyboard parts. I'd be like, there's no way I can do this live. I need two keyboard players. And I never had that before, but now it's cool. You know, the Kenny stuff has a lot of strings and horns, and they really gave him the star treatment, really, when they would go to record his albums, right? So it's just big bands, lots of orchestration, and that frees up Mark to do a lot of all of that strings and all those horns and stuff. When I'm playing the piano with two hands and it sounds like a full piano player, and then, you know, he's got all the orchestration. So it's really cool, actually.
Well, that's got to make it fun for you.
Yeah, it is fun, yeah.
But your independent side, what you're doing for yourself, is far different than the country pop side that is Kenny Rogers. Tell us a little bit about what your sound is.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been gone through a bunch of different phases. Obviously, I've been writing since I was in high school, probably. So maybe around 15 years. And a lot of different phases. Right now, I think my sound is like I'm trying to represent Motown and Americana and like the blues and like folk a little bit, you know. So I really got into Stevie Wonder over the last like few years.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's really good at is taking like a complex idea, like, or chord progression that he almost derives from jazz, and putting it into like a pop format and making it accessible for people, and putting these like really fun horn lines over it that everybody can grab right away. So it takes like the concepts and the harmony of jazz and moves it to like a more accessible level for most listeners. And
the thing
I really enjoy that.
Well, the thing that's been interesting for me listening to your music is it is a very mature sound that you have. You know, when you listen, I hear the blues and the jazz, and it's a very cool progression that you've got with that. But it sounds like old school.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're going for with that?
I think part of the reason that it sounds old school is because I use like more complex harmony, which has kind of gone out of style. Like, there's still songs you can hear on the radio with 7 chords, but they rarely change keys and they rarely kind of explore. It gets kind of repetitive. So
you're a little more advanced.
Yeah, it's borrowing more from when music, there was less production and people had to do more with just the instruments and make it still interesting with just one band. So we would have key changes. We'd go here, we'd change to a different key. We'd have this part come in here and we'd layer things in. Now, like songwriting, and there's nothing against modern day songwriting, but it's a lot more about production. So they really simplify the instruments and they get everything down to like a few things they really need and they try and make them sound really good, you know? A lot of the music you hear on the radio nowadays has some instruments, but they're not all instruments. And what I've been trying to do lately with my music is just put nothing on there that's not real, like just all real organic sounding instruments. And that's another reason why it sounds a little bit older and more dated, because I just want it to be totally organic. It sound like people playing, you know?
And that's one of the things that we really like about you, about other the artists that we've had on the program, is that it is real music. Mm-hmm. You're not manufacturing something here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really makes it cool. The first one that we've got queued up tonight is Fight No More. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a song that just I was just sitting at the piano, and it's got like that Bill Withers thing to start. So it goes from the C up to the F.
Yep.
Dum, 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 right. And it's like, I was just playing with that and I just kept doing that. And then I was sitting on this piano part for a couple months and I was like, I need to write some lyrics. I need to make this into a song. So I did. I like this song. I think it doesn't have any like repeated lyrics. So that mm-hmm. is something different about it that makes it less poppy, I think. Something that wouldn't be like gravitate towards radio listeners right away. But for me, it's like the consistency of like the parts, how they're cyclical and how it just sort of builds. I think it does kind of start somewhere and end somewhere similar, but takes you on a little bit of a journey.
You bet. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful message with it as well. Let's give this one a listen. Rob Lewis and Fight No More.
Made up my mind. I've been thinking all the time. I'm ready to fly across the borderline. I don't wanna fight now. Never knew what it was for. I don't wanna fight no more. 24 little hours, all that make up a day. We could be blooming flowers, just blowing the blues away. I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time. I think you and I could give it one more try. I don't wanna fight no more.
Such a great song, Fight No More from Rob Lewis. You know, this is one of the reasons I really love hearing the backstories on what you're doing and what you're putting together, because you really follow that progression, that it is a story from start to finish without repeating, without having that all in there. So it's a real song.
Well, thank you.
And it sounds like you have fun with it, too. You know, the other thing, I'm listening to some of the little riffs that you're going off on the keyboards there, and it's got to be, you know, from an expression standpoint, that has to be a lot of fun for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned Stevie Wonder, you've been listening to a lot of that. What got you into music initially, and what influenced you to take you to where you are right now with your independent career?
Yeah, sure. It's a kind of a long story, but not too complicated. I mean, I just really loved music from the time I was a little kid. I don't know why. It would just bring up all these feelings in me, and I would just get so excited, or I was really like emotionally in tune to whatever the song was, you know. Some people aren't like that, but I'm the type of person, I can still put on a song I haven't heard in a while and I can just cry, like it'll get me that bad, you know.
I can relate.
So some people just have that extra sensitivity, and I had that. My parents started me they started my older sister on piano lessons when she was five, and they told me that I asked immediately when I could do that. So I got to start when I was five.
All right.
I was the only one that kept with it out of my siblings. They started us all when we were five. And I quit for a little bit in the middle because I wanted to play guitar, and my dad said he would rather see me play the piano. So it was piano or nothing, and I quit.
Mm-hmm. Quit completely? You stopped with music completely, or you just
for about 4 years, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh my.
So like 12 to 16. I mean, I was young, but
rebellious.
Yeah. It's just funny, like how my life would be different if my dad was just like, okay, here's a guitar, you know, and if I would still just be playing like Three Doors Down covers or something like that. Probably not, but you know.
Yeah. So it goes this direction, and now that kind of led you back. What brought you back to it? Why did you say?
Well, my friends were playing rock music, and I was just listening to music, and I would hear songs on the radio, and I just wanted to be a part of it so bad. I just wanted to be involved so badly that I just got out my old keyboard and put it back in my room and started teaching myself, like reteaching myself from scratch. Mm-hmm. I was like figuring out the scales and figuring out the chords. And my parents bought me some lessons for a semester, and then I was lucky enough that I got a full ride at OU. So my parents agreed that I could take whatever classes on the side I wanted, as long as I majored in something that would land me a job. So I got it.
You got to do something real. You can't do this music stuff forever.
So I didn't know what to do, and I got a degree in physics, but I spent way more time in the practice rooms playing scales than doing physics homework. But I passed, you know. So
there you go. You got the degree. Oh, it's super.
But so then, you know, I took some, I tried to take classical piano lessons in college, and I didn't have the chops or the know-how or the understanding or the reading skills. So they, I tried to do a classical piano minor, and they said, you have to take private lessons before we'll let you into the minor. I took one semester of classical piano lessons, and I was feeling like, I'm spending a lot of effort trying to figure out how to make sounds that sound like everybody else. And I wanted to like express myself and do something original, even if it wasn't great, it would be me, you know? And, I found out they had a jazz lesson or jazz minor program. And I just went straight to jazz piano lessons and never looked back. And I had a couple of really great teachers at OU. One's named Tad Weed. He's dead now, sadly, but he was a great force in the Ann Arbor and Detroit music scene. Fantastic pianist. Other teacher I have is Scott Gwinnell. You can still see him playing out in clubs all over the place. He's very busy, great composer, winner of multiple Detroit Music Awards for composition. And I guess I just, you know, I had a long period where I was listening to Radiohead and just making like ambient, trippy music, like just trying to, drowning everything in reverb and just trying to make it weird. And I don't know. Then I got into like Donny Hathaway, and I always liked like Amos Lee, and when I was a kid, I loved, in high school, I got really into Ray Charles from that movie Ray with Jamie Foxx. It was such a great movie. Yep. I think that movie had a really big influence on me. So it was just like a lot of different influences, and I don't know. And then I just always, there was a part of me that always wanted to like go back and be able to play stuff that my parents would like enjoy or like be impressed by. So I spent several years, I'm still doing it now, like learning the Great American Songbook, learning the Frank Sinatra, learning the Cole Porter and the Gershwin and the, you know, the Frank Lesser and all these people. So I've been doing this jazz trio thing where I do that American Songbook thing on the side, of play a few gigs like that a year. This Allen thing's been keeping me really busy, obviously. So I've always had this kind of, the jazz thing and the writing thing going on separately. And the writing is just kind of like wherever, whatever I'm feeling at the moment. Like I said, in the past year, two or three years, I've just been noticing that all the stuff I write is really hard to bring to a live audience. Because mm-hmm. it's just too layered. It's too complex. It's too many keyboard parts. It takes too many harmonies. It takes too many people. So I've been trying to like pare down my songs to like something that could stand on its own with just a keyboard part and a vocal, or maybe just bass, drums, and keys, you know, at the very most.
Sure.
And then anything you add on top of that is great, but you need to be able to like represent it to an audience.
Yeah. You're still writing it for the group of people that can sit there and hear it, as opposed to those that are going to have to download it or purchase it because it is a major production.
Right. Well, so that's been influencing my writing a lot. And I've just been following where my ears, I guess, you know. I've been getting into like really into like good drummers lately, like Nate Smith and like Yusuf Days and like Lewis Cole. And so I kind of want to bring that into my music, but I've been trying to learn the drums, but like I still have friends who do that for me.
Probably
there's only so much you can do in one day.
Dad would not be pleased. You know, it's interesting to me, though, some of the names from the past that you brought into that, and you've got the chops to be able to handle those vocals, certainly. You talked about Sinatra, for instance. Have you pursued anything along that sort of line for your own music?
Yeah, so I do, like I said, all that repertoire in my jazz trio.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that when I try and sing like that in original music, it doesn't feel like me, you know.
It's got to be you. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's like, I really love all that music, and I don't think I'll ever stop playing all that Great American Songbook stuff and all of that, like those chord progressions and those little musical theory details. And the diminished chords and the way they move in between keys and key centers, like all that's getting into my music. But my voice, I don't know what my voice is when I sing my original music. It just is like, I just try and sing how I think I sound.
But it's Rob Lewis. It's Rob Lewis. You've got your own sound. And that's another of the things that we love is a unique sound. You don't have to be like everybody else. And again, it gets you away from that manufactured sound that I think so many folks get tired of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good for that 14 to 18 year old demographic. But as you start to mature in what you want to listen to, you don't want to listen to the cookie cutter stuff that's out there. Right. And you know, some of the great American things that you talked about, Love We Found, which is the next one we've got queued up. I know particularly the intro, and we're going into this song. You hear a lot of that. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, this was a song that I wrote for someone special. But it was, yeah, another one of those things where I was just kind of sitting on this keyboard part that I had made up, and then I wrote some lyrics, and then I recorded it with Jackie in her cabin back at, like a year ago now, in November. And we just did it. Like I played the keyboards and the bass guitar and the cajon, and she sang. And it was a very stripped down recording, but it didn't have like, I was like, this is a good song, but I feel like it's got like some oomph that needs to come out. And I want to do a full band recording. So then I just spent, you know, a few months taking my time retracking it and messing with the horn parts. And I was bringing in MIDI horns and fake horns and trying to write different parts. And eventually I was just like, I cannot get these fake horns to sound good. So I asked Jackie to put out a feeler on Facebook, and we found some really great horn players, like local Detroit guys, Kassam Belgrave, Alan Denard, Michael Abbo. They came into my house and we tracked horns in my living room where I'm sitting right now.
All right.
And yeah, I was really happy with it because I like played with horns and stuff on my records before, but this is the first time I arranged it for a live 3-piece horn section, and we tracked it all at one time, and it does have a little bit of that live sound and that live energy to it. It's kind of ambitious. It's a busy track, you know. Jackie was like, it needs less, but I'm like, I want to throw the kitchen sink at it, you know. So
well, I'll tell you what, I think you accomplished it. This is one that we really love. We're going to enjoy this one, folks. Love We Found from Rob Lewis.
Have you ever thought about what is meant by the euphemism, making love? If two people can make love, then what is love made of? Is it all just in the mind? Is it just something that we do to pass the time? Well, I can't find a reason not to say it out loud. Baby, I love you, in the hope that you love me too. I don't mean that I need you, it's just that everything's a little better when you're around. Baby, I'm happy in a way that I have never been. Maybe I'll stay a while here in this love we made and this love we found. Have you ever thought about what is meant by the euphemism, making love? Did you ever think you'd find a thing you could be sure of? Well, I like making love with you, and I love that you like it too. Can't find a reason not to say it out loud. 'Cause baby, I love you, and I hope that you love me too. Don't mean that I need you, it's just that everything's a little better. Things a little better.
just another amazing tune. I said, just like, and listen, Rob, tell Jackie you got just the right mix on that, okay?
It's so good. I love this song.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah,
we finished recording all my keyboards and stuff and the drums and the bass, and I sent it over to my friend Josh, who plays guitar, and I thought he forgot about it, right? 8 weeks later, he sends me 6 guitar tracks, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's got all these like chromatic walk-ups in the verse, and then he's got that ripping guitar solo at the end. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I'm just like,
dude, cool. Josh knocked it out of the park. It sounds like, it hits, you know?
All right. I want you to have the great big orchestra up there on stage playing that one. That was a lot of fun. So where do folks find you, Rob? You've got a website, the social media. Where do we figure out where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing next?
Sure, yeah. You can follow me on roblewismusic.com for my original music. Yeah, that's the website I'm working on, roblewismusic.com. I got to get it up. It's like getting tweaked.
Close.
I have roblewistrio.com. That's for my jazz trio stuff. So it's not original music. It's just like jazz standards, that vein. You can follow me on Instagram at either Rob Lewis Music or Rob Lewis Trio. I want to keep it under the same brand, but they are separate projects.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got a little different that's doing with each of them. And of course, you'll find him with the Ultimate Kenny Rogers tribute with Alan Turner and the crew on that as well. And we're looking forward. We're going to see you with that. Your Christmas show coming up in Howell towards the end of the year.
Oh, so Howell. We'll,
yes.
I was figuring you would come to the one in Rochester.
Well, maybe both. You never know. Yeah,
it's, never know where we're going to end up.
Okay. Yeah, we got nothing in November, but we got lots of those Christmas shows lined up in December. And they're fun. I mean, I never played Christmas music like that before, so I did it last year, you know.
We didn't get a chance to see it last year. We're really looking forward to this year, though.
Yeah, it's cool.
We got one more of your tunes queued up. Do What You Can Do. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Sure, yeah. I still think this is the best song I've ever written. I'm just like chasing that high again. But you know, it's just like I was going through a rough time where I was trying everything and nothing was working. And I was looking for a job and nobody would hire me. And I was just broke, and you know, it's like one of those periods in your life where it's just like you're trying, you're spinning your wheels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I was writing a song to myself, you know. I was just like, you just gotta keep going, and it'll work out eventually, you know, if you just have the right attitude about it. So yeah, I just wrote this song, and I finished writing it, and I was like, that is the cheesiest thing I have ever written or even heard. And then I sat on it for a little while, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then when I brought it to like the band and they filled it out, I was like, now I have to put it out. You know, now it's like, now I'm actually proud of it. So I sat on it for a long time. And it was actually when I was thinking about starting to release music under my own name again, because before this, I'd been doing music with my drummer who is still drums with me, but it was under the name Purdy Boys. And it was like my band that I was doing before. That's still on Spotify and you can find it. It's good music, but it's a different sound. Because there's a lot of synths and stuff, and it's not this like live organic sound that I've been looking for. But anyway, I put out this song first under my name as a solo artist, because I just think it represents like the best side of me on the best day. You know, this is who I am. So,
and came out of a time that was probably the worst for you as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I have support around me and great friends and family.
You bet.
That helps.
Bet. Well, knowing that, let's give this one a listen. Do What You Can Do.
When the world runs dry, you got to dig a little deeper now. When you slept, but you're still tired, you got to be a better sleeper now. When the whole world to do what you can do. When your heart is got to do what you can do.
What a great message with that song. That's awesome. Rob Lewis, Do What You Can Do. You know, you said early on in the interview tonight that when we were talking about kind of the influences and how you got started, how much you liked the emotions that music strikes in you, and you hear something maybe 10 years earlier that you hear today and it still makes you feel the same way. I think that's what your music does. I've gotten that through... And of course, it's just a sampling of three songs that we've got tonight on the show. But I felt that as we've gone through this, your music really does strike emotion. And that's kind of a unique thing for somebody to be able to do.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's what most people are striving for, you know. So that means a lot. Thank you.
You've accomplished it. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate having you on tonight, Rob.
Thank you. Just one quick aside. I heard that you guys had a Mojo.
Yeah,
we did. Mojo was on. Actually, the night we record these shows a little bit in advance, and your show is going to be coming out on the 21st of November. That'll be our air date. We are here now on the 7th of November, and Mojo Bo's show is on live about an hour and a half ago. So.
Okay. I'm going to go watch it after this.
You bet. Oh, we had a lot of fun with him. Man, can that guy talk?
Yeah, he can talk, but he can play too. So, you know.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. And as I said in the preview for that show, I challenge anybody to keep a dry eye through You're a Gift, which is one of the songs.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But again, we talk about, you know, generating emotion from the music. We're fortunate to have folks like you, Rob, on here who do just that. And this has been a lot of fun. It's been a great opportunity to get to know you here tonight. We love your music, and we're looking forward to hearing an awful lot more from you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Hey, Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
We have Money Soup next week.
Oh, live from, well, we found out about them in Vegas. So
yeah, we were in Vegas. Yeah, so when Vehicle Sea Sound was in Vegas, that's when we found out about them. And so we're excited they're going to be on our show.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. Hey, that's a wrap on it for tonight. We want to say thank you one more time to our special guest, Rob Lewis. Rob, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
For all of you out there in podcast land, you know where to find us. We're on Spotify and all the other major platforms where you get your podcasts. You can look us up. You want to know where we're going to be. You want to maybe buy a little of that merch. VehicleCitySound.com. Hey, we're on YouTube now, too. So if you want to see us and tell us that we have faces for radio, you can do that now as well. And you can drop us a note. If you know some more performers like Rob that you'd like to hear on the show, drop us an email at VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. We appreciate you listening. Be good.